Allah Ta'ala's dhikr, gathering with the barakah, with the blessings of this gathering. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has given us again the tawfiq, the ability to come, and Allah Ta'ala with His grace and mercy, which He is continuously showering upon us, so that we again can speak about such an amal, such a good deed, that we can say is all of the amal that we do, all the deeds that we do, that when they will be presented in Allah Ta'ala's court, in Allah's presence, that this is the, you can say, ruh, the soul of all of the deeds. This is the life, the spirit of all of the deeds. Imagine how valuable this deed is. That this deed can fulfill all of the desires, our desires, which is the desire of a mu'min. And very easily we can fulfill this desire if we bring this amal into our lives in this world. And that amal, that the desire of a believer, of a mu'min, the greatest desire is this, obviously, that Allah Ta'ala is pleased with His servant. And this is the reward that ultimately everybody will attain. That every mu'min, man and woman, has a desire that Allah Ta'ala has, His fadl comes upon us, His grace, His special grace and mercy, and in this way we pass away, that Allah Ta'ala is happy with us. Say Ameen. Ameen. Are we sleeping? What a big point. We are doing dua. That Allah Ta'ala is the time of acceptance of the dua, and we say Ameen, isn't it? Yes. So when we hear something like this, we should be attentive. And if we, one person says Ameen, then on the day of judgment, if everyone's there, and Allah will say, forgive this person, and everyone else go, and we'll say, Allah, we were also there in that congregation. Allah will say, were you sleeping? You weren't listening? That when the dua was being made for Jannah, paradise, you were quiet. One person said, Ameen, and I accepted. This is it. So brothers, we are sat in the masjid, in the house of Allah. We are sat in the dhikr majlis. We are talking with regards to Quran and Hadith, and we sit down and make a face and don't say anything. We are asking, and we are asking like beggars. So what do we have? What do we have? Has anybody got anything in his possession? Any deed that can give the success? Is there anyone who's got something here that we can take with us into the court of Allah? Tell me. Have we got anything that is worth anything? So what is this? That Allah Ta'ala has given us the tawfiq. So whenever such kalamats and du'as come, such a thing comes, then we should say straight away loudly, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Ameen, may Allah accept. Because at least the person should have a desire. And if we just sit there like a statue and lifeless, what's the point? And this looked very weird to me, that like I'm sat in front of statues and I'm speaking, and a person comes with hopes and desires that there'll be good people, mashallah, they'll be thirsty, full of desire and a yearning, and a willing to learn, to do something, to practice something. Mashallah, the last time when I spoke, that we, I think it was Thursday night or Saturday, I think maybe in Masjid Aisha, that everybody should try that. We should try to take our parents towards Jannah, paradise, our relatives and everyone, Alhamdulillah, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. One child, he made some effort, and then he made his mother do tawbah. So this is the effort that's required. So somebody worked hard, made effort. Did anybody go and speak to anyone else about dhikr? And did you knock on somebody's door and explain, or you just heard and went? Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, He is so great that He goes along with our senses and our desires. Allah Ta'ala accepted that gathering for that person. Tell me. And he really felt those words. He said, I came to this majlis gathering. Allah sent this message to me, so I need to make my mother have a connection with Allah. She reared me, brought me up. And kama rabbayani saghira, the dua Allah Ta'ala has given in the Quran. But nobody's doing the work. Nobody's got fikr for their dear ones. And this is the hal of our qawm, of our nation. And that's why we're coming, isn't it? That's why we've come here. That Allah bestow your karam, your grace and your mercy on us. And I say this regularly, that we don't just come here for saying La ilaha illallah. Not just for, well, rather we are here because we want to please Allah. And Allah can be pleased with any amal, any deed. And the greatest deed that Allah likes is that the servant of Allah should always consider himself as relying on Allah, totally dependent on Allah, in the court of Allah, begging, Like we are empty without nothing. I have all the deficiencies under the sun. Allah, you've brought me here. Allah, you deliver me. Say Ameen. Allah, you forgive me. So every second Allah Ta'ala's angels descend. In the hadith we've stated, the whole gap between the heavens and the earth is full. And the words are coming, come, come. And the whole world, people are calling. This is the gathering of dhikr. People are sitting. The whole gap between the heavens and the earth is full. And all the angels are doing dua for the people in the gathering. We just sit there, glum faced. And then we get up or we leave the gathering. Yani we have no life, no soul, no understanding that we're going to pass away. Or we have such a conviction that we got so many deeds and I know that I'm forgiven already. I don't have any need to do any dhikr. I've already fulfilled my target and achieved. Don't take what I'm saying badly. I'm with you as well. We're all like this. So when we come, we should come with a passion. Don't come here for sleeping or just sitting stony-faced. Come here as a beggar. And this is the reality. That nobody has anything, no one has any amal or deeds. Even the greatest prophets and sahaba were crying in the nights. They would get up and beg, look at their salah. And we, what do we have? That today, it's like a hadith, that today the person who does dhikr of Allah, the example of the majlis of dhikr of Allah, as Nabi Sallam has given us, so think from your minds this point, that how unique is this gathering? How unique. And the hint that Rasulullah gave, that such a time will come that the gathering of dhikr will be such like there is a jungle and all of the trees are dry and all the leaves are fallen off. There'll be one tree within all of them, the dense, thick forest that would be green. So this is how the dhikr gathering is today, is that wherever you go in the earth, on the world, it'll be dry, barren, infertile, like a drought, and there will be one tree you will see fertile where dhikr, the gathering, is taking place. So this is a great reward of Allah that we've got this. Khair, this is a point that came in between my feeling of my heart I shared with you. Don't be upset with what I'm saying. I'm saying this for myself. I'm requesting you, mashallah, my elders and pious people. But when you come to the masjid, don't sit down like we are dumb. We should speak. So when we come, we should ask for my Rabb. We should request for my Rabb. So I was requesting, alhamdulillah, a very great deed, a good action, due to the relationship with this gathering Allah has given to us. So all of the mu'mins have a desire. In the heart of a believer, there are different desires. That I, for example, we are humans. I want a house, I want earth, I want land, I want to be a landowner, I need gardens, and from here I want to send money here, there, make this house and do this action. So this is not the desire of a mu'min though. Allah Ta'ala says that this is not the desire of a mu'min. What is the desire of a mu'min? The mu'min has yaqeen, certainty that I'm going to leave everything here in the world. All the kings, they went empty handed before me. We didn't see anyone taking a palace and he's taking his wives with him when he dies, the human being. The first thing is that if you go to the house of a person who's passed away and you go and see his clothes are hanging, the watches are there, and the alarm clock's there, the wall clock is there, everything in his room is still there, his chappal, slippers, his shoes. And 5-10 minutes, then a person becomes very aware that he's left everything here. Yesterday he was wearing this watch, he was wearing this jumper yesterday, this cardigan. And it's here. But he's left, and the palace will be full of gold and jewels. For example, if you go to Saudi Arabia, if a king passes away, and we see everything, isn't it? And the demonstration of what happens after death. And the king, he has the palaces and the mansions and the money. And when the king is buried, and that's it, his palace, his houses are empty. He's picked up like a normal person, his janazah being prayed. There's no special protocol. And then suddenly, he is buried into the grave. End of story. End of the life. And this is our life as well, our story. That nothing will go with us, nobody will go with us, and nothing will go with us. No item will go with us, no person will go with us. So can this be the desire of a mu'min? He will be mad. He will have the desire of a madman, like foolish people have desires for worthless things. I want this, put my hand there, I need this, I need progression, advance. People ask about me, respect me, think I'm great, and I'll become a landowner and rich and wealthy. Fool. Foolish person, Allah Ta'ala calls that person, that you're a fool, you're stupid. Because this cannot be the desire of a mu'min. The mu'min's desire every moment, second, is how will my Lord Allah be pleased with me? And who is the mu'min? In the village, he sat under the tree, an old man, and his bones are protruding, and he's so worked hard, he's sweating, and he's got a dry piece of chapati bread, and he says, Allah, become pleased with me. Allah, become pleased with me, my actions. I've seen people like this. You will have seen people like this. You will know about this. And he keeps on looking, that SubhanAllah, look at this person. That what do you have to your name? You're so worried. Do you have anything? You haven't got no money to pay zakat. You can't give sadaqah. There's no flesh on your bones. You can't even do ibadah. No, Allah. Allah, I'm a sinner. Allah, I'm a very sinful person. I'm not a good person. He's crying and calling out to his Lord. And we're standing there. Our stomachs are full. We've eaten so much. And we can't even walk. Our stomachs are so full and big. And we can't even pray salah. We've got thousands of diseases after eating so much food. And we've got no worry. No dua. No forgiveness request. No desire. Prayed salah, it's okay. This is the difference. So Allah, pleasure. And Allah Ta'ala says that the mu'min's heart should always have this desire that Allah, the women, men, old women, younger women, I swear by Allah, the sons have gone and the father's gone Norway or somewhere else or some other country, and the old woman, she sat there and somebody maybe sends money to her and they're all enjoying themselves, their lives, and they're working in factories and making money. And the older mother, she's sitting in the night, she's on her own, the poor soul, and she's just got the corn grinder and some food, and she's got a broken glass. Allah, forgiveness. Allah, forgiveness. Allah, become pleased with me. Allah, become pleased with me. Allah, forgiveness. And she's not saying this to anyone, that you be pleased, give me money. Today, the Prime Minister, oh, may he become pleased with me. No. She, the heart of the mu'min, mu'min's heart, no desire that I need a house, a mansion. Wallah, I tell you, wallah. Allah, become pleased with me. Allah, when the janazah prayer takes place, what a great janazah for that person. So my brothers, this condition of the heart, when it becomes, this is the mu'min's heart, when it becomes like this, with the fikr, that may my Rabb become happy, may my Rabb become happy, may my Allah become happy. You know, like if a person who has somebody who's beloved to him or her, and that person becomes unhappy with that person, then you have worry. For example, somebody gave you a job, and the person, the boss, the employer, he gives you wages, and he keeps you on the job, and you'll keep on thinking, how should I please my boss, my employer, my senior, or maybe I'll give him this today, he'll become, or shall I do this for this person, make him happy? We keep on thinking of ways to please the boss. So the heart of the mu'min, the true pure heart of a mu'min, he's always or she's always thinking, how do I please my Rabb, Allah who created me? I don't want to displease Allah. I don't want Allah to become unhappy with me. I don't want to do anything. Or forget the dunya and what's happening around. I want Allah to be happy with me. So Allah Ta'ala says to such a servant, that I'm telling you the desire of that mu'min. What's the desire in the heart of a believer? Whether it's morning, evening, night, daytime, sunrise, sunset, raining, jungle, city, urban, rural. The believer says one thing, one desire in the heart, that I am living in this world, and Allah, when I depart from it, I want you to be happy with me when I depart from this world. So the mu'min eats, and the lazy person eats, the mu'min sleeps, and the lazy person sleeps. But the difference is between, like the difference between the heavens and the earth. The person who has the desire for Allah's pleasure. Yeah, there's another desire as well, as I said, which is not the realistic thing. But the other desire of a mu'min is, Allah, save me from Jahannam. When we hear about Jahannam, once Jibreel alayhi salam came, and went, when he used to come to Jibreel Islam to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I can't remember how many times he descended or came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Jibreel alaihi salam, he descended, if I say, he rather not descended, he came to do ziyarah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And from all of the angels, Hazrat Jibreel alaihi salam had the good fortune, I can't remember the number of times, it's come out of my head, in so many visits, no angel visited, no one had this sort of status or good fortune, the amount that Hazrat Jibreel alaihi salam came and did ziyarah and saw the blessed being of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because Hazrat Jibreel sallam did ziyarah of the beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sat down with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was his maqam. Once when he came, Jibreel alaihi wasallam, I've just come off the topic, my mind's gone somewhere else for a few moments. So when Jibreel alaihi wasallam came and he saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, you're looking different today, your face is different. And is he sad? And once Jibreel alaihi wasallam did not come, he didn't come at the time or when he was going to come, and the Prophet ﷺ was thinking that Jibreel ﷺ hasn't come, and the Rasulullah ﷺ said, Jibreel, you've never come like this, your face, you look upset, you're not happy. And he said, Ya Rasulullah ﷺ, what can I say to you? But today I've seen something. Jibreel ﷺ saying this, And Rasulullah said, "What have you seen?" Because there was love with Rasulullah. And Jibreel used to have true love. So why do you have fikr? Why are you worried? And Jibreel, because he had love. So if Jibreel keeps love with the Prophet Muhammad, so he had fikr for the ummah. And Rasulullah said, "Why are you so upset and worried?" And Jibreel said, "O Prophet of Allah, I don't want to give you pain and trouble. I don't want to say anything." And this is the meaning of the hadith I'm telling to you. So Rasulullah said, "No, tell me." And Rasulullah sat down, and Jibreel said that, "O Prophet of Allah, I've come today after being past that place, that place where the sinful people from your ummah will be inserted." Oh, and then Rasulullah's color changed, and Rasulullah said, "Jibreel, which place?" And Jibreel said, "O Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is Jahannam, hellfire. And today Allah has shown me hellfire. After seeing hellfire, I cannot stay conscious." Jibreel alayhi salam saying this. Tell me. So mu'min, a believer, should we not have the desire, instead of the houses and shops, any time the death is about to come, "Allah save us from hellfire. Allah free us from hellfire." Should we not have this desire? Shouldn't we? Today the deed we're doing now, just like this, subhanallah, just like the click of the finger, it will go, that deed. And that Jahannam, the example I've given to you, is a small hadith that I've mentioned. It's a very long hadith, a small portion I've recited. If I recite it, your hairs will stand on end. The Rasulullah meeting with Jibreel alayhi salam, and the condition of the Prophet after this discussion about Jahannam, that hellfire, that may Allah not allow the sinful, but the sinful people of this ummah will go. Who is a sinful person? A person who's lying, doing zin of the eyes, backbiting, speaking nonsense. These old sins. To look at someone and mock that person, laugh at us, to look at someone, look at that person, this is such a big sin, and there's nothing that can compensate for this. To see someone and to snigger that person and jeer at that person and mock that person, this is a common deed. If you look in the heart of that person, that what is the emotion? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this is a big sin. Major sin, that on the day of judgment, that person will be stood and told that first should look at your face. Look at your face. They used to laugh at people like this. So look at your face, it will be deformed, the face of that person. And you were laughing at that person, some defect of that person. Look now at your face, you were laughing at his iman, his sins, his emotions. Whatever you were laughing about that person, Allah is khabir and basir. Today now look at your figure and form, and look at that person you were laughing against. And this is common today now. And we joke and jest and mock and look down at people. And break their hearts. And what is a mu'min? What is a believer like? His eyes, like the Quran says, he lowers his eyes, humbles himself and walks. Doesn't know about the left or the right, or up and down. Such walis of Allah past, they've said that, have you seen? That was just, no, 30 years it's been. I've never looked around. I don't know what's happening around me. I just know the masjid, path to the masjid, and that's where I used to go. I've not seen anything else. I've seen a wali of Allah in the Naqshbandi order, I've seen in my city. Qazi Ubaidullah rahmatullahi, may Allah ta'ala elevate his status and rank. And when he used to come to lead Jummah, he was a great alim of his time, Sufi, great Sufi, Naqshbandi silsila. And when I saw in my life, when I used to read Jummah behind him in his masjid from the young life, and he gave me bayah as well, alhamdulillah, and when I was a young child, and he was such a wali wala that I saw in my life, then never did he, or never did anybody, when he left the house to the masjid, nobody would see his face. He would come walking, and his face would be hidden underneath the cloak or the chadar or the sheet. And then when he'd sit on the minbar, he would lift his parda up, his sheet up, his, you can say, cloak up. And they said, "Hazrat, why is this?" He said, "There is no reason." He just said, "I feel like this." And he's speaking, he used to speak to his special select students and associates, that Allah Ta'ala has said the dunya is impure. And Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "It's worse than the flesh, the decaying body of a donkey." Then I don't want to look at this, what's around me. So this is the heart of the woman. He said, "What will I do by looking at the dunya around me? That doesn't need me to look at it." And his whole life, he spent his life like this. He didn't pay any attention, didn't look at shops or items or anything. Brothers, this is the heart of the mu'min. And this will have the qadr, qalb salim. This is given the title, the pure heart. And it's not difficult to attain this. But we don't want this. We don't want this, do we? Who desires to come to dhikr? Okay? So if we can come, can others not come? Because they don't desire. You desired, you came. Yes, say subhanallah. Subhanallah. Allah is khabir basir. Allah Ta'ala knows what's in the depths of the heart. If you have a small small inkling of desire in the depths of your heart, Allah will listen. So it's your desire that's brought you here. And those who haven't come, you can ask them, they say, so difficult for them. Dhikr, some other time, like death has come to them. Like death has come, death is over me. Oh, we'll go some other time, inshallah. If you try to invite somebody to dhikr, your friend, oh, I'm going to dhikr, come to dhikr. To come, to take a person out of the gathering, we know how to get out of the masjid, out of the majlis, but we don't know how to stay and remain and take part. Aha, look at the state of the ummah, the situation of the ummah. Imagine our situation. It takes not even a minute for everybody to leave the masjid or the majlis of Allah Ta'ala's dhikr. We'll be ready for the dunya. But to come, why? Was we don't have the desire. So it's not my achievement, not yours. It's Allah Ta'ala's fadl that He has made us sit here. Allah Ta'ala's fadl that this person, for example, he sat here, he's come back from work and his eyes are tired. It's not easy. How many people have come here after working today? Somebody's working in construction or laboring or whatever. Everybody works. So now have we got an excuse? No, because you had the desire and Allah Ta'ala brought you to the gathering. Because you had the desire. Some people will not have eaten the food. The chapati, though today dhikr's be early, and we'll eat afterwards. Some people will be sat here hungry, they'll have worked all day. And after work, they'll have worked hard and sweated, but they will have left their work, maybe not finished. No, I don't want to eat yet. I will eat after dhikr, with ease. And there'll be people sat here with that situation, isn't it? And who can make this? Who arranges this? It's only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only Allah, who Allah ta'ala loves His servants. Aha, think for a moment. Think. So what examples? And in front of us we see these examples. So is this our achievement that could we come if we want to do? No. So before, why didn't I come before? 50 years I'm doing this. Why didn't you come before that? 50 years I'm doing this work of the deen and I didn't see your face before. Before these recent weeks. But even 50 years, those people who stuck with me, with the fadl of Allah, alhamdulillah, they are sat here in front of this mic. The people, the children, they used to come to dhikr in the age of youth, and today they are grandfathers and dadas and nanas with the white beards, and the women whose nikahs I oversaw and their children were born in front of me. I gave adhan in the ears, and today those children are young and they're with their wives, alhamdulillah, and they're sitting in front of this technical equipment doing dhikr of Allah. And somebody said a beautiful thing recently. So he was a non-Muslim, and he comes, and I remember he was a new Muslim, and I remember what he said now after many years. And mashallah, everybody praises his teacher and has love with the teacher. Why not? We do the same. So he said a beautiful statement once, and I will share that with you. Do I have ijazah? Permission? He wrote that, he said, look, my sheikh, look what my sheikh is like. He's writing. In English it was a letter, and maybe he's listening, the brother. He said, my sheikh, look how my sheikh is. The people have khankas, and my sheikh, the whole dunya has become the khanka for him. And gave the right praise, because wherever dhikr is being done, that is the khanka. Obviously, she said, in every corner of the world there's dhikr taking place. Every street, every room in the whole world, dhikr is taking place, your dhikr. And Allah Ta'ala has made the whole dunya khanka. I said, he said the right thing with the love of dhikr. He said the right thing. So this is Allah Ta'ala's karam and mercy. So now, is this not Allah's karam that you've come here? I didn't see your faces before, you've come now. So Allah Ta'ala selected. This is the fadl, the karam, the mercy of Allah. So if we do this and we look in the name of dhikr, Allah Ta'ala says, what reward shall I give to this person? Oh, come now, the people who did dhikr khafi, Allah Ta'ala will put them separate. Where is Allah Ta'ala taking these people who did dhikr in the heart, silent? Allah will say, angel, you go. Because there are two angels with all of us, aren't there? Two angels, and they will have the list of the deeds, the good deeds and the bad. I'm telling you the hadith here. They will have the list. And Hazrat Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu anha, she narrates hadith that the angels will go along with the people to communicate the deeds. Allah will say that, no, there's another deed they did, because the secretary, the angels, these two secretaries, the angel on the right and the left, they will go. They'll come to such a point when they're communicating our deeds, Allah will call such a jamaat, and Allah will say, you angels, you go. They'll say, Allah, this is the register of his deeds. Allah will say, close the register, go. Be gone with you. And I'm going to alone meet with my servants now. Direct communication. They'll say, Allah, but we've got the amal, the deeds, the register, and you want to take this person to the side and communicate directly. What is it you're going to discuss? How are you going to understand his deeds and the record? Allah will say, this is a deed that was not included in your register. Subhanallah. That you could not write this. You say, Allah, you gave us the power to record this. Allah say, you didn't have the power. This deed was so beloved to me that I desire that when this person will come to me, that I put him so close to me and say that your amal is with me, I've recorded, and this is the reward. Aha, Allah, the angels will say, Allah, what is that deed? Tell us. Say hadith. This is the deed Allah will say, that when they would lower their necks and heads and their heart would do dhikr of Allah, silent dhikr, then apart from me, nobody could listen to them. Nobody. SubhanAllah. So is this hadith being read? Not being read? The people read and mention this hadith. When it comes time to do, we leave. We leave. We are the ummah. We are the beloved ummah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as greatest Nabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what is the desire? The desire in the heart of a believer is that Allah, can you be pleased with me, please. And Allah, take hellfire away from me. Take it away from me. May it be destroyed. I don't want to go near the hellfire. I don't even want to think or talk or speak about Jannah. The third desire of a mu'min is Jannah, paradise. And the mu'min's desire is Allah want the highest rank in Jannah. Such a high maqam, ala. Because this is the desire of the mu'min, the believer. The mu'min, when he becomes a believer, he increases, his heart desires increase. And the person of the world, who's attached with the world, his love for the world increases. Allah, first give me a shop. Allah, I want to earn from my shop. That will be enough for me from this, that I can leave this factory. So Allah Ta'ala gives him the job, the shop. So he leaves employment, the factory, gets a shop. He says, Allah, it's not enough for me, give me two shops. Allah Ta'ala says, okay, I'll multiply, give you two shops. So Allah gives him two places of business. Promises, Allah, the two shops are not fulfilling my desires and needs, paying the bills. Allah, give me a building somehow. And then, is this not the person who loves the dunya and the mu'min's heart? What does he say? Allah, give me Jannah. Allah, give me paradise. Then he thinks, Jannah, Allah, give me the high grade Jannah, high place in Jannah. And the mu'min has a desire. So I'm telling you the truth here, the totally the correct thing. This is the desire of the mu'min. After every dua, we increase our desires. We always increase our desires. Allah Ta'ala looks at us and smiles, laughs at us. Then our desires increase. Allah, give me this more. Give me more this Jannatul Adn and Firdaus and everything. And Allah says, where does this person reach? And eventually he says, Allah, he says such a dua that he could not even imagine he would have done before. And Allah Ta'ala accepts it. He says, Allah, let's do this, that the day is about to come, about to pass away. Allah, just put me with the Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ah, this is a hadith. That Allah put me alongside Rasulullah in the hereafter. This is a hadith that Allah Ta'ala has sent to us and shared with us. That Allah just give me the qurb, the nearness to Rasulullah. As soon as he thinks about that, Allah Ta'ala says, put his name in that list now. So when he passes away, he's with the Prophet in the hereafter. Whose desire is this? The mu'min. And we see now let's think ourselves, that everything we're doing in our lives, is this the heart, my condition of a mu'min or of the shaitan? I speak honest, straight, doesn't matter if somebody's upset. So we'll realize ourselves. Are we on the straight and narrow, the right path? So we should scan ourselves, analyze ourselves. And what other desires does a mu'min have in his heart? And we should have. We hear this a lot. That Allah, what is the wali of Allah? Who is the wali of Allah? The friend. Allah, who are your friends? Allah Ta'ala says, friends are friends. What does this mean, Allah, friend, your wali? And for example, Allah Ta'ala says, if you are distressed, then come close to me and ask from me and go to my friends who are the wali of Allah. And Allah Ta'ala says that go to them and get their company. And before you even raise your hands and ask for the dua, I will give to you, because this is the quality of the wali of Allah, isn't it? So this is also a desire. Every mu'min wants to be also a wali of Allah, a friend of Allah. Allah Ta'ala says, okay, I've made you my friend. Allah, is there any different levels of friendship? Allah says, yes, there are. What is that? Allah Ta'ala says that the friendship increases. How does this happen, Allah? It increases so much. Allah Ta'ala says, I put my friend so close to me, that we cannot even imagine how my friend is close to me. Then the friendship increases. Then the friend asks for a qurb. The stages of Abdal and Qutb and Ghawth. We hear these are the stages, and we read. And the believer asks from Allah for a higher stage, a higher level. So these are the desires of a mu'min. Do you understand the desires? Number one, there's such a deed that it will just become like this. All our desires will be fulfilled like this. So will we do that deed? You make a solid agreement and pact. Yeah, okay. So you want to hear now? Fair enough. Okay, so how? Just like I said here, click of the finger. You know this, yeah? The click of the finger, the sound takes longer to reach you than the speed in which this deed will make all our desires accepted. Allah, I've made a sin. I've committed a sin. Allah says, no problem. I've committed a lot of sins. Allah says, no problem. Do this deed and see how you will succeed. Allah, I've got a doubt. How can I do this deed? I'm the worst. I've did the worst of sins. There was a girl walking and I looked back after her and I tried to whistle to her and catch her attention, and then I drove faster and she started laughing. What's happened to this man? And this has happened. Allah, I do sins like this. And people tell me, the poor souls, yeah, there is some regret and remorse. Today, Allah, I'm doing tawbah that I did dhikr in the morning. Then I saw the female. I said, I'm going to work. What am I doing here? And still she didn't respond. And then, if that female girl said, come, let's do zina, he never would have gone. How could he go? Because he doesn't desire that thing. So see how shaitan make a person commit a sin. He makes a person do a sin. Think about yourself. You don't want to do anything physically. He doesn't dare to do this. Because he's done dhikr, he's got a beard, mashallah, he prays salah. But he is being included in the sin of zina, physically. And he's sitting with ease in the car. We've just done dhikr, departed, looking left and right. Wife sleep? Okay. We go tuck in the evening. Open the laptop or the phone. Oh, let's see the news. Look what shaitan says. Let's watch the news. The news. He puts the hand on the news and his hand goes further, clicks on other buttons and links and he starts playing games. He was looking at a little bit. Oh, tawbah, tawbah, what am I doing here? And let's look further here. And shaitan has made you do the sin. Isn't it? So, all of this is happening. And what are we saying? We do that deed that Allah has prescribed to us. Wallah, I swear by Allah in whose hands is our lives. Are our lives. Allah says, this deed is such that you've committed all the sins under the sun. I will wipe them away and you will come close to me. And all your desires will be fulfilled. Do you want to ask me what is that deed? Yeah. You are making clear pointer, then give me £5, everybody. Make me £5. Yes? Because I don't want to waste out to explain to you and mention, okay, then at least do dua for me, isn't it? If you don't give £5, okay, inshallah you'll do dua. That's what I mean. In reality, actually, no money. I need the duas. Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran. Everybody knows this. I'm not saying something new, but our mind doesn't go towards this. We have all the desires. I'll tell you, we have worse desires and more desires. May Allah Ta'ala accept our good desires, though. The good desires, because at least we've enjoyed listening to the Quran and the Hadith. Tubu ila Allahi jami'an, ayyuhal mu'minun, la'allakum tuflihun. Say loudly, Subhanallah. Subhan. This is the Quran. Allah promises in the Quran. Tubu ila Allahi jami'an. Allahu Akbar. Jami'an. That the sinners, the worst of people, wretched people, jami'an. Allah Ta'ala is announcing. Oh, Allah so great, His rahmah, His mercy. Kulla, openly. Tubu ila Allah. Tubu, come to me, come to me, mu'minin, mu'minat, mu'minin. Come to me, repent. Oh, my friends, the walis of Allah, when they hear these words in the night in their ears, and the whole universe, these words are rolling. Oh, people who don't know, who are not aware, come, death is after you, it's been written, some time is left in your life, you don't know what breath, when it will run out. Oh, come, tubu ilalhi jami'an, the whole world should come, come to me, come near to me, ask from me, remember me. Allahu Akbar. And what is the promise Allah has given? Ayyuhal mu'minun, O believers, especially those who believe me. You believe me, I am very worried that you are the ummah of my Habib, ayyuhal mu'minun. Oh, mu'mineen, oh believers, Allah Ta'ala says, come, subhanallah. And we're hearing this. And how we are liars. We are liars and we are fraudsters. We are munafiqeen, we are hypocrites. That Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has given us an open chance, an invitation, and nobody responds to Allah. Nobody goes, we say, I'm forgiven, Allah will forgive, I'm going to go to paradise, and I'll get to paradise, Allah will forgive me, there's no problem. Allah says, tubu ila Allah. How much nifaq we have, does it take long? Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. Allah Ta'ala speaks to the mu'mineen, and we go to Jahannam, to hellfire. We will go into hellfire, despite Allah Ta'ala's reminders, and His help and His assistance. Person with iman will go to hellfire, and hellfire will be full. And we, people like us, because we didn't understand the Quran, the Kitab of Allah, we knew that we're going to hear Quran in Taraweeh, and do heaps of Quran, and after forget it, read it or not, oh, just call me Hafiz Ji. Or the father will say, oh, my son is Hafiz. That's it, that's all I need, so I can walk around big-headed. We say, oh, your son is Hafiz. Yeah, my son's Hafiz. And I need the respect. I have no other desire about the Quran further than this. We have not fulfilled the haqq of the Quran. We've not read it. The son, we've never seen him read it, never seen him do dar. And such houses have seen the wife is a hafiza and the husband is a hafiz. And in the night, they're doing waste of time activities, 2, 3, 4 hours, and they talk rubbish and nonsense. And nor does the wife read Quran, nor does the husband read Quran and recite. What answer will we give tomorrow? Tell me, what answer? Oh, we do dhikr. Dhikr, the meaning of dhikr doesn't mean that you leave all the ibadat. That person is not doing dhikr. That dhikr that does not awaken your heart and doesn't create the connection with the Quran, that doesn't give you love with the salah, and doesn't give you love with the masjid, then what is that dhikr? That's a waste of time. That's no link with dhikr. Dhikr, the definition of dhikr, the meaning of dhikr is that the true dhakir, man or woman, first thing, that mu'min will have the love with salah, he'll become immersed in the love of salah. He'll become fanaf al-Quran. love of Quran, love of Salah will become the life of that person. Life of that person. And today, I remember Nadab of Medina, subhanAllah, from the Ashraf, he was a Sayyid. And I was in Itikaf, and I'm telling you an old event, and in the night he'd come slowly, quietly to me, that Arab. And he was a rich and wealthy Arab. And he'd come and say, "Ya Sheikh, Sheikh," he would say to me. I said, "Who is this person who's calling me?" I looked, "Ta'al, ta'al." And I got scared. I thought, "He's going to take me inside. What's it? What's he going to say to me?" And all our friends were here scattered. It was night time. And you know, after Tarawih, a person gets tired. And it was hot times. It was a long Tarawih. This was Sheikh Ayyub's first Tarawih. You have heard of Sheikh Ayyub, Imam Ayyub? And that's the first time. It was very enjoyable listening to his Tarawih, such enjoyment. He said, "Ta'al, ta'al. Anta Sheikh. Sheikh Kabir." And I said, "Inta Sheikh Kabir, I'm a small person, you're a big Sheikh." Tawaza. He said, "Come." I said, "Where are you taking me?" "I'm in itikaf." He said, "I'm in itikaf as well. We'll sit in the back in the dark." I said, "Okay, let's see what you want to communicate." And his name was Umar. I'll tell you his name. And he took me and we went and sat in the corner. He said, "Sheikh." I said, "Yes." He said, "I am seeing that you tell dhikr to people, you explain dhikr to people, instruct dhikr." I said, "Yes." He said, "You teach people something like this." I said, "Yes." He said, "What does this mean?" He asked me. I said, "The meaning of this is that Allah Ta'ala, you get close to Allah if you do dhikr." He said, "And what else?" I said, "Allah becomes pleased with you. And a person is saved from the sins. And Allah gets closer to that person. And the thawab is very great. And the Quran tells us the thawab for this." He said, He said, "Do you pray salah?" I said, "Salah, your salah will become so strong." He says, "I've loved with two things, salah and Quran. What will happen to those ibadat?" I said, "You will fall in love with salah and Quran." He said, "Give me bayah. Give me bayah. Give me dhikr. I'm telling you the truth." I said, "Okay, fine. Wallah, Allahu Akbar." After some years, I met him in Makkah. I'm sat there, and he had come from Medina, and he saw me, and he came from behind, and he sort of embraced me. He said, "Sheikh, Sheikh." I said, "Who? Umar. How? Kayf halak?" He said, "Alhamdulillah, mashallah." I said, "Come." And same way he came. I said, "Now what's the issue?" He said, "Sheikh, the dhikr you gave to me, the dhikr, the prescription, what can I tell you? That 3 hours I pray Quran, I pray Salah and recite Quran for 3 hours. I get so much taste enjoyment in my Quran, my Salah is given to me. I've got 3 wives and the fourth I've just got married and I've come. And they all look for me by phone. Either I'm in Masjid Nabawi standing, praying Salah and reciting Quran in there. Or you'll find me in Makkah. You've seen I'm standing in Makkah." He said, "What a great thing that dhikr has given me. So this is dhikr of Allah. So honest dhakir, what will he attain? He will attain love with Salah. The person who doesn't pray Salah will start to pray Salah. And the person who never went in congregation Jamaat will pray Salah in Jamaat. He'll love it and he'll love and enjoy reading Quran. So consider that the dhikr is successful. Successful. How can that be dhikr if there's no taste and enjoyment? There's no dhikr if there's no desire. If you don't have the desire, then how can we do dhikr? So you understand what I'm saying? So the heart of the mu'min becomes strong with the dhikr of Allah and pure, and Allah has given the cure through dhikr of Allah. That everywhere, whatever you do, wherever you are, you will become good in your practice due to the dhikr of Allah. So Allah says, "Tubu ila Allahi jamia, la lakum tuflahun." Allah has made all the promises today, tuflahun. So do you understand the amal, the deed? You don't understand? You don't understand? Tubu ila Allah, do tawbah, Allah says, tawbah. Tawbah, repentance. Allah says, one of your repentance actions is so valuable. The hadith, that as much as the stars in the sky, as much as the stars in the sky, if you have so many sins, as much as the stars in the sky, and you turn to Allah and say, "Allah, forgive me," Allah will forgive all of your sins, remove them, eliminate them, disappear. And after forgiving us, you, Allah Ta'ala says, "La'allakum tuflihun." And in tuflihun, nothing is restricted. Who is the successful person? Who are the fortunate people? What is the reward? Allah Ta'ala says, this is a restricted reward. Allah Ta'ala keeps an open level playing field. Whatever your desires are with regards to me, all of your desires will be fulfilled, Allah Ta'ala says. All of your desires. And this desire, obviously, will have that Allah make us close to Rasulullah ﷺ in the hereafter in Jannah, our house. And Allah says, I'll make that also accepted. Why? Due to tawbah, repentance. One tawbah is a very great action. That, for example, there was a Habshi. And when he heard this from Rasulullah ﷺ about tawbah, and he came forward. In the hadith states, he came forward. He said, "Assalamu alaikum." He said, "O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam," who was like a villager, a nomad. and there's no special formality or special respect. And he said, oh Prophet of Allah, and Rasulullah said yes. He said, me, I'm normally negligent and maybe not steadfast. If I do this tawbah, will I be forgiven? And Rasulullah said, of course you will be forgiven. And he said, all my sins. And Rasulullah said yes. And he went. Then he came back. He said, no. That I'm hearing this, that the sins I used to commit, Allah used to watch them? He asked the question. And Rasulullah will reply, yes, Allah did. And there he shrieked out and he passed away. Allah Akbar. So both things we understand here, that he became so regretful that my Rabb is watching me and I'm doing zina. My Rabb is watching me that on the phone I'm speaking nonsense. My Rabb is watching that I'm lying. My Rabb is watching that I'm greedy for money. My Rabb is seeing that I'm sleeping and I'm leaving salah. And my Rabb is watching that I'm doing this deed. And my Rabb is watching me. And have yaqeen, the condition came around. He came to that point that Allah Ta'ala is watching me and the servant's doing. And so much he regretted that, my Rabb, how will I show my face to my Rabb that I'm doing these deeds and Allah is watching me? And he passed away there. And he had accepted and done tawbah prior to that. Alhamdulillah. So look at the second point here. That he didn't have the desire to be alive ongoing. Because if Allah has forgiven the sins, then it'll be risky after that to please Allah. So he passed away. So this is, my brothers, the heart of the mu'min. This is tawbah. Tawbah is not a drama. It's not a game. It's such an action that no deed can compare to this. The whole life of a person who worshipped the idols, and he said Ram, Sham, etc. Everything. Worshipped the idols, immersed in the idols, and his nafs, and committed errors and disobeyed Allah. Allah Ta'ala says all sins removed and wiped away and forgiven. La'allakum tuflahun. Allah Ta'ala says three things alongside that tawbah. Three. Number one, that I will be happy with you. Look at this point here. Allah Ta'ala say that I will be happy with you. Oh, I remember hadith, a very beautiful hadith of Rasulullah SAW. Allah Ta'ala says one sin, if a person commits a sin, and that sin will take that person into Jannah. That sin will take that person into Jannah, into paradise. What is that? The person is sinning and that sin takes the person to Jannah. The Sahaba Karam said, Ya Rasulullah, how can that be? A person sins. And Rasulullah says that this way, that when he does a sin, he's about to go, he's into Jahannam. But after sinning, when he has remorse, regret and shame, oh, Allah's watched me, seen me, and he's ashamed. Allah Ta'ala says, I close the doors of Jahannam hellfire, and he goes to heaven, to paradise. So what a cheap bargain, cheap sale, cheap bargain, my friends. So see this. Then Allah Ta'ala's Nabi Sallam gave us an example to his ummah. What is the example? That Abu Huraira, Sahih Bukhari hadith. Listen to this. What does the hadith say? Abu Huraira, I swear by Allah, I say this. And Rasulullah SAW is saying this to Abu Huraira, and he's amazed. That I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And who will not trust Rasulullah SAW what he said? But how much emphasis Rasulullah SAW gave. Think about it. What is this amal that Rasulullah SAW is mentioning? That I swear by Allah that I in the day 70 times do istighfar and do tawbah and ask for repentance. Subhanallah. So that the ummah can wake up. And we need this excess of tawbah. We have committed many sins. But don't worry about your sins. Allah Ta'ala says, just make a recitation continuous. Don't say, Allah, I'm ashamed. Allah, forgive me. I've made mistakes and sins. Forgive me. Think. We bow our heads down and look into our hearts. Do we do this? Oh, just committed sins. It's okay, I've forgotten about it. After sinning, then the earth will say that, oh, my heart will say, I've not committed any sins. No, I've done good deeds and many good deeds. What difference does it make? No. So the person, Allah Ta'ala says, that even though you may have done good deeds and pious deeds, but Allah Ta'ala says, explain to that person, that man or woman who's committed a sin, and the person is ashamed and says, Allah, forgive me. Allah Ta'ala says that the next breath doesn't even get drawn in, and that man or woman has already arrived into paradise. Tuflihun. And all the deeds that he committed, he is benefited from. Except the fact that if we listen here and understand all the walis and abdals and ghaus, all the walis of Allah that have passed, they did not become due to ibadah, but due to the fact they said, Allah forgive us, Allah forgive us. So happy is Allah. Let's give an example. What a beautiful, unique example. That how Allah Ta'ala becomes happy. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave us an example here. They're so happy, there's Allah becomes so happy, that Allah Ta'ala says, I'll tell you how, Rasulullah SAW said, I will tell you how happy Allah becomes. This is a Muslim hadith, Sahih Muslim hadith. And how is Allah happy, Ya Rasulullah SAW? And Rasulullah SAW said, I'll give you an example here, that you're in a jungle, and you're going into the depths, the darkness of the jungle, you have a camel, and you have the luggage and things to eat and drink, and you have guidance, and the route you're where, and you see that you sit for a while, and you fall asleep. When you wake up, your camel's disappeared. Disappear, tell me how you'll feel. For example, you're traveling and you're in a long journey and you're tired and you're going on Hajj, say. And on the way, you, for example, it happens, you're in the wilderness and you stop your car. You think, okay, let me lie down for a little while. And you wake up, the car's gone, the passport's money, everything's gone. And there's nothing, you've got no currency, nothing to do, nothing to use. What will you do then? Extreme distress. So tell me, so he said, I'm sat. He said, the person has a bit of courage and determination. So he sought and looked wherever he could. And his tongue was so thirsty and it came out of the mouth due to thirst. And the afternoon came, he could see nothing. He didn't receive anything. He sat down, felt sleepy and fell asleep. When he got up from the sleep, he sees that the camel with all the goods is standing next to that person. So he stated that when you see that his happiness is so great, subhanAllah, and now Allah Ta'ala's happiness, subhanAllah, that the happiness of that villager, of that person is such, he says straight away, when he says with happiness, Ya Allah, that I am your Rabb and you are my servant. SubhanAllah. In other words, he's so happy that he speaks the opposite due to extreme happiness. So when Allah Ta'ala is happy, Allah says, I'm more happy than this to you. More happy after you've done tawbah. After you've done tawbah. So should we do tawbah or not, my friends? We should. It's a very great action. An important action, and we don't do tawbah. We don't. So any mu'min, alhamdulillah, any believer, alhamdulillah, any believer, none of the believers, if you take any believer, nobody will go to hellfire because Allah Ta'ala is prepared. Because we will sin. Allah Ta'ala says, I've sent you to sin. But Allah Ta'ala says, I've made such a preparation for you that I and the Jahannam will see you and fall pity on you if you make a habit, if you keep on doing tawbah with your sins. Repenting for the sins, seeking forgiveness of sins. And you should be ashamed. And such a way you should do tawbah, you should have yaqeen that Allah Ta'ala is watching me, looking at me. And you should have regret and be aware. Oh, I do tawbah for this, that. Oh, what will this person do? What will that person say? What will the world say? What will people say? No. Don't do tawbah. What will my husband say? My children say? You have a link with nobody. What will my Rabb say to me if I'm making this mistake? Then if you do this action without any preconditions, a link, oh foolish person, how did you do this sin? How? Like a child commits a sin, comes to the father and he's afraid. Father will say, why did you do this? Why? I'll be ashamed. And oh, for example, if I drink alcohol in my father, if I do something impure and my father realizes and finds out, and he will have severe fear that my father is going to tell me off. If I go in front of my father, I'll be ashamed. It happens, doesn't it? So this is the life and the soul of a mu'min, that my Rabb is watching me. What will he say? What will he think? What will he say? That you've done such sin, you ate haram, you consumed unlawful things, and straight away there's a cure for this, that Allah forgive me, Allah forgive me. It doesn't take long. Allah says, you ask for forgiveness and I will release you, forgive you. Allah says, whatever, I bring you close to me, I'll save you from Jahannam, I'll give you Jannah and Paradise, and I will give you thy station of Walaya, the rank of Walaya. Tubu ilallahi jami'a. I will say again, my friends, if you have friendship with others, love for your relatives, your brothers, your sisters, with your family and other relatives and friends, bring them towards tawbah. Invite them towards tawbah. Where there's no guarantee for life. Today, nowadays, we say, look, we're sitting down, the earthquake comes and the electricity goes. It takes a second. Does it not happen in the world? Oh, the earthquake came in Bolton and 50 people passed away, or many thousands of people passed away. So will we come then? No, that's the end of story. So Allah Ta'ala says that everybody is going to pass away. There's no logic that we're not going to pass away. You're driving a car, you passed away. What's the reason? Oh, he was driving and the tire burst and there was a car accident. So there's just many reasons, multitudes of reasons. Okay, we're careful, we're eating good food, we eat carefully, we do exercise, and we are reducing our weight, and we eat organic food, and for this reason that we are watching our weight, controlling our weight, and we don't want high cholesterol, we don't want high blood pressure, and we're trying our hardest. And who will stop the tire bursting, brothers? Who? Every day we see death like this. Isn't it? Tires burst, split. So, who was controlling at that time? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Beforehand, we saved our life through caution, but we cannot prevent that death when it comes. And what do we need before death? Preparation. And the best preparation is what? Is what? Tawbah. Repentance. Never ever should we forget this. It doesn't matter if it's the worst of the worst of the sinners. He cannot go to Jahannam if he or she has done tawbah, repentance. That's it. Solid point. Alhamdulillah. That's enough. Isn't it? And the door of tawbah. Look how many times Allah has given us chances. Not, oh, how old are you? 40 years. Oh, close the door. He can't ask for forgiveness anymore. Yes, do what you want to do. No tawbah. And Allah could have done this. Allah will say this, how many years is this person? Oh, beards are white now and old. That's it. Allah will say, that's it. Until 60, he didn't ask for tawbah. Now he's got no ijazah to come in front of me to do ask for tawbah. No, Allah Ta'ala has not put any precondition. He couldn't feel ashamed. 60 years, what he's doing? Just close the door. Allah could say this if Allah wants. 80 years old. Okay, that's it. Enough time. So much time now. Close this person's the door of mercy or the opportunity. What does Allah say? Until Qiyamah, the door of mercy will not shut. The door of Tawbah. Until Qiyamah, the door will stay open. That maybe somebody will say, Allah forgive me. Somebody will say, Allah forgive me. And I will leave that person, Allah says. So my brothers, sins are committed. Sins are committed. But Tawbah we should do straight away. Tawbah straight away. And we should never leave Tawbah. With kaseer and kaseer abundance, we should do Tawbah. Ask for Allah's forgiveness. Don't be in the delusion, deception that I am forgiven. Because the deed that will wipe away all of the sins is regret. Tawbah with regret and remorse. Like with shame. Like when you're ashamed to go to your father after doing a sin. What will my Rabb say to me? He prays Salah, he's improved his appearance. And Allah's given me respect. And I still sin. Oh Allah, forgive me, Allah, forgive me. And just all we have to say is that. And Allah will wipe away the sins. Inshallah, Allah won't allow you to commit the sin again. Repeat it again. Allah won't allow it. So will we do it, inshallah? Okay. Recite Durood Sharif.